We do have a missions guest with us today. And unfortunately, the only unfortunate thing is he's by himself. We would have loved if his family could be here, but they can't be here with him. But we have Jeff Stout with us. We have been supporting Jeff and Eileen and their family for how long now? A long time. Yeah, I think since the first time you guys headed overseas. I know this is the third time you've been with us, third or fourth time since we've been here. And anyway, years and years and years ago, which will be hard to believe because Jeff looks so young. But the reason he looks so young is because he hangs out with young people. That's what their ministry is. It's young people. And we sent them overseas. We decided to partner with them right away when they decided to go overseas to work with the youth of Europe. And they've been back to report on that a number of times, and he'll give you another report today. God is actually shifting their focus a little bit, and he'll tell you about that, but they're going to continue doing missions work among young people. But I just want to tell you, I love it anytime God brings us a missionary, and I like it when he brings us new missionaries because we have the opportunity to say, hey, we want to help send you wherever you're going. But I really like it when God brings missionaries back to us that we've been supporting, because when you hear the report and you hear the passion and you hear the vision, you know that this is what you've been investing in the kingdom of God. And so today we have that privilege as Jeff is here with us. So Jeff, I'm going to invite you to come. He's going to be sharing what he's been doing, what they're going to do, bring us a word. And at the conclusion, we're going to take an offering for him and his family and their missions work. So I want you to be anticipating that and ready for that when the time comes. Jeff, it's so good to have you with us today.
Wow! Your pastor and his wife are some of the most amazing missions people I've ever met. And I am so thankful for what they do in this church and for missions. And I just say a huge thank you for supporting us, because if it had not been for you guys, all of you, we would not have been able to accomplish all the things that God has done through us in the 15 years that we've been missionaries living overseas. It's been an incredible ride. I just feel the presence of God here with us this morning. I don't know if you sense what I sense, but for those of you going through storms, I just felt the Lord sharing with us this morning and kind of wanting to go. I'm not going to preach on this. This is just all for free, this part. Is that, you know, there's storms in the Bible, but there's one where Jesus sent the disciples out in a boat, knowing that there was a storm that was going to rise up. And he's out there with them. He's sleeping in the boat. He's sleeping. And a storm rises up. And they're bailing for their lives. And Jesus says three things. He says, stop, still, and suddenly. And I don't know where you are in your storms of life here, but if Jesus is in your boat, you don't have anything to worry about. And if he says, shh, I'm sleeping, then you don't have to worry about it. And I sense that some of you are in storms this morning, and I just encourage you in the Lord that Jesus has got it all under control. That he can say, stop. That he can say, still. He can make everything still. And then there's a suddenly that can happen. When Jesus decides for suddenlies to happen, they suddenly happen. And whatever you're facing in this morning, I bring you good news. Jesus is saying there's a suddenly on your way this morning. Hallelujah. I believe this with all my heart. I'm not preaching on that this morning, so I felt like the Lord was just saying this to us, that whatever you're facing, because we all face storms in life. This has been my first hurricane in a long time. We don't get hurricanes in Europe. Hallelujah. But I'm from Florida, and it's to see what God is doing here. And my wife, she sends her greetings. She is Puerto Rican, so we've been praying for a lot of people in Puerto Rico. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. That's my Spanish. That's the extent of it. I'm a gringo. But they send their greetings. My wife and kids are actually at her sister-in-law's house. Her children had a birthday party, and so they're having a cousin celebration. It's nice to be home in the States where you can actually get together with family. We're not 7,000 miles away. So it's really cool to be here and be here with you guys this morning. When last time I was here, I think the first time my children, I probably wheeled my youngest daughter in on the suitcase. She was, my kids were like 3 and 1 when we first started missions. We started in Vienna, Austria. My kids now are 18 and almost 16. They have grown up most of their lives living overseas. Their German is incredible. Even their French is pretty good. Because we started off in Vienna, Austria, working at an international church. We had many different language groups, many different denominations. So we'd have 5 services on the weekend, all on a different language, starting with Congolese, French, African. We'd have a German-speaking group. Then we'd have the international English-speaking. Then as soon as that was over with, 500 Nigerians would storm into the place. I had my own Nigerian outfit. It was amazing. I'm the only white guy that was there in the middle. It was an amazing time being with them. And right after their service, 400 Filipinos would come in to the service. And now they actually have 2 more services. But that's the church that we started at. And we started doing kids ministry and youth ministries and started a master's commission there, which is a discipleship school. It was an incredible time. That got us linked, though, with the National Youth of Austria. So the next time that we went over to Vienna, we were actually working with the National Youth of the entire country. 61 churches in the entire nation of Austria. Only 15 of them have youth ministries. There's such a need for youth ministry globally. It's beyond sad. There are some countries literally with nothing for youth ministry. This got on our hearts to develop youth ministry, not only in Austria. While we were there, we were in charge of the summer camps and youth conventions and different things like that. We started doing worship nights for all of Vienna. There'd be 200 teenagers in a room, and we're just worshiping Jesus. It was a powerful time that we had there. And you guys have been a part of this. All of this, the second term, was in German. Hallelujah. I have learned that German and a southern accent do not mix very well. I think for the first 3 weeks I was there, I was just trying to say good night, which is Gute Nacht. And you have to have the "ht" or you mess up the entire word. And apparently I was doing that for 3 weeks and they pulled me aside and they're like, Pastor Jeff, you need to enunciate your German a little bit better because rather than saying good night, you've been saying good naked. I was like, okay. So pray for my German. Hallelujah. I can teach you a little bit of German here today. We would always sing the worship song, "How Great is Our God." How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Well, in German, great is translated groß. G-R-O-S-S. And they wouldn't say Gott, they would say Lord, which is translated hair. So they'd sing, "So groß ist der Herr." Sing mit mir, so gross. I could never take the song seriously. This youth pastor, I was always trying to think, you know, they're singing about gross hair. So there's a little bit of German there for you this morning. But not only did we work with the National Youth there, doing all kinds of outreaches, I remember going out to the streets and praying for young people, teaching young people to pray for other people. And we'd be out on the streets, and this one young man prayed for this lady that had a foam cast on her ankle. And he said, "Can I pray for her?" And she said, "Sure." And he just said a short little prayer. I didn't think there was anything special to it. He was just like, "Jesus, touch her ankle." She took off the foam cast and was healed instantly. It's easy to witness to people when they've just been healed. God is on the move, and I believe He's raising up a generation that's going to go and sweep the nations. I believe this with all my heart. For the first time in world history, over 50% of the world's population is under the age of 19. We've got a job to do. Not only did we do the National Youth of Austria, but after that, that got us linked with the National Youth of Europe, called PEFI, stood for all the Pentecostal European Fellowships of Europe. So this last term that we've been, their head office is in Brussels, Belgium. So for the last 3 years, I've been living in Brussels, Belgium. Hallelujah. The waffles are amazing. And the French fries, and the chocolate, and the soccer team. But that's Brussels has been amazing. We were over there when the bombs in the airport went off, and many people said, "Are you safe? We've been praying for you." And it was just nice to know that you guys are praying for missionaries, because it makes a difference. I traveled into that airport so many times I couldn't even tell you. I could have been in that airport, but I wasn't that day. And To see what God is doing in raising up a generation there is amazing. I wish that I could take you this morning to the youth convention in Brussels. Actually, we have a monthly meeting that's just the youth groups of Brussels. We found out that there were so many churches that didn't have youth ministry in Brussels that we started a monthly gathering. So we'd have about 300 teenagers every month just hanging out, having service, seeking God. We call those explosion weekends, hallelujah. But for the youth conventions, we call those CJs. And they're getting ready to have another one. And just if you can imagine this dilapidated old school auditorium with 600 teenagers in the room, all about 80% of them Congolese African. It's a very lively service. In fact, this is how they introduced me. They were like, Jeff, since you're the new guy, get ready. Because during worship, the presence of God comes into the room and people start manifesting demons so that we have teams ready just to carry them out and cast demons out. And he said, you know, since you're new, you're on that team. No problem, man. Doesn't matter what language. German, French, we're going to cast demons out. And the power of God would fall in such a way. I can't even begin to describe for you what a Belgian youth convention, where I remember preaching one year. I wouldn't even schedule to preach. The guy got sick the night before, and they all looked at me, and they were like, okay, Jeff, you're preaching tomorrow night, the last night of youth convention. I said, no problem. And the power of God moved in such a way. Teenagers, hundreds of teenagers, laid out in the Spirit of God. We couldn't even pray for all of them. It was powerful. I believe God is awakening a generation, and you guys are a part of this. Hallelujah. That's just Belgium. With the national youth, we are over 44 nations throughout Europe. Many of these nations literally have nothing for youth ministry. We preached in over 27 of these nations going all throughout Europe, raising up youth ministries, doing outreaches in Macedonia, doing youth conventions in Finland in February. This Florida boy was cold. Finland in February. That was some cold weather, but we saw in a room of 300 teenagers, God's Spirit poured out on a generation. It was powerful, and you guys are a part of this. What we realized is not one Bible college in Europe trains for youth ministry. Not one. So we started developing training for youth ministry, going out. There's 14 nations. We did 14 trainings for regions all throughout Europe. And saw God raise up workers down in Italy, down all over Sweden, all over. And seeing God raise up young people for youth ministry is an amazing thing. You guys saw a difference in their lives, like people like Paul. Paul was in my youth group. Paul's about 6'4", has a nice mohawk, wears the spike collars, all the black clothes. And Paul was in the youth group, and I got the phone call one night that Paul was contemplating suicide. So I jumped in my Speed the Light car. Hallelujah for Speed the Light. Speed the Light is where our Assembly of God young people raise money so that I can have a vehicle and sound equipment overseas. And it's because I had that vehicle that I reached Paul's house in time, because he lived like out there. He lived way out there. I'd have never reached him in time. But because I had a Speed the Light car, I reached Paul's house in time, prayed with the young man. He hung out with me for 3 weeks. We built skateboard ramps for evangelism. At the end of 3 weeks, he was sitting in my kitchen and he looked at me and he said, Jeff, because of you, I'm going to give God a chance in my life. I said, hallelujah. That's what missions is all about. When you guys give to missions, you're giving to souls coming to know Jesus. People need to know Jesus. That's how I got called to be a missionary. I remember being a youth pastor here in Florida, and on a Sunday morning, much like this, the presence of God was there during worship, and I went up front as other people came up front, and it was like, I began to pray for souls. God, help us to reach souls. Help us to reach the lost. And as I began to do that, God just reached inside my heart and said, I'm going to start leading you to become a missionary. And I lost it. I was boo-hooing big time. I was up at the altars praying, and everyone else that had come up to the altars, they all went back to their seats. The pastor's taking up offering and doing announcements, and there's the youth pastor over on the side, just boo-hooing away. I'm losing it, because God's presence was all over me. And people start to look at my wife like, you need to go check on your husband. who's finally had his mental breakdown from working with teenagers too long. And, of course, if she were here, she'd be able to tell her story of how God called her at Penn, Florida summer camp as a 13-year-old, that God called her to be a missionary and gave her a vision that she would be standing on a stage reaching multiple nationalities. She'd be on a stage where there are many lights hanging down in the auditorium and many nations would be there. When we first got to Vienna, Austria, she was standing on a stage because we had a joint service in the International Church with over 150 different nationalities. It was the exact vision she had when she was 13 years old, because it was an old movie theater that had lights hanging down. Coolest thing ever. Anyway, back to me boo-hooing. She comes over to me, checking on me. She's like, honey, are you okay? And I said, I feel God's calling us to be missionaries. So she says, yes, God, it's about time. So now she starts crying. We're both weeping at the altars. And I remember God giving me a scripture verse when I was 15 years old when he called me into ministry from Jeremiah chapter 1. And I said, God, you got to give me a scripture verse like that. And I opened up the Bible to Haggai 2:7. It says, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the desired of all nations will come. Little did I know when we got to Vienna, Austria, that the national youth that we were working with there was called Shake Youth. God knows what he's doing. God has a plan that is beyond what we can even comprehend. I can't believe God called me to be a missionary because I'm afraid to fly. And I've flown across the ocean so many times I don't even know now. It's just, God is great. When we give our lives to him, he can do the impossible, things that we never thought possible he can use us to do. We partnered with not only our movement, but other movements, partnered with Bethel from California. They were doing a big thing in Europe called Awakening Europe. This was in 2015. So in July 2015, picture with me, in Nuremberg, Germany, the same place that 70 years ago Hitler commissioned Nazi youth. We were there with 26,000 young people calling on the name of Jesus over a country that people say, oh, it's post-Christian. It's dead. You might as well just give up on this dark continent. God is up to something in Europe right now, I can tell you. We went out to the streets all day Saturday. 26,000 people converging on a city. We invited everyone back to the service that night. That night in the service, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus. In Germany! You'll never hear about this on the news. But God is moving across these nations. We just had another one in Sweden last year. This year is going to be in Prague, Czech Republic. There's Holy Spirit nights falling all over the place. I'm telling you, when we first got to Austria, we couldn't get teenagers to the altars. Now, we can't get them to leave the altars. I remember being at a youth convention where we were done. And the young people just crying out for God, and we were done. We were like, well, I guess we'll just keep seeking God. It was powerful. God is awakening a generation, and you guys are a part of this, in seeing a generation come to know Jesus all throughout Europe. Of course, now where we're at, we realized that what we need is, in this, not only the season of life that we're at, our kids are graduating, my father passed away. In fact, it was at that Nuremberg convention, the Awakening Europe convention. In the same 2 days there, we found out that my father had a brain tumor, and my father-in-law had prostate cancer. And hard times sometimes. Sometimes the storms come, but we know the storm walker, so we're all right. God is in control of everything. And even though my father passed away and I need to be here for my mother for a little bit, my father-in-law went from stage 4 prostate cancer to stage 0. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. God's in charge. He's never lost control. God knows what he's doing. And so we just feel during this time that God is sending us actually back to Florida to plant youth ministries. There are over 200 churches in Penn, Florida without youth ministry. We want to develop youth ministry here in Florida. I believe God has already told me he's going to give us the Southeast, the 5 southern kingdoms, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, West Florida, and Florida. And I believe that God is going to raise up youth ministries here. And that from there, hopefully, what I would love to see one day, just a dream of mine, I want to see global youth ministry development. But it's going to start here actually. I thought it would start in Europe, but it's going to start here in Florida. God's up to something. I've already got 20 churches asking for help right now. 20. You guys are a part of this in helping us reach. Many of these churches can't afford youth pastors. But God has given us some plans and some directions. Would love to talk more with you about it. If you want to visit the table, grab a prayer card. One of the brochures there, we're partnering with the district office to become a placement planting partnership. So the idea is to be placing people in ministry, whatever it takes. You know, I remember when I started youth ministry, I went to Southeastern, and fresh upon leaving the college, I went up to a pastor in West Virginia who said, I can't pay you, you have no place to live, do you still want to come? And I said, I believe God is in this. And he said, I believe God is in this too. So we took a leap of faith. We took up pledges from the congregation so that I could get a measly paycheck. I think I made $8,000 in the whole year. And I was thrilled to do it. And God supplied all my needs. I got married. I bought my first house. All on God can do anything when we take the step of faith that He leads us to take. And I believe that God has called us to plant youth ministries here in Florida and in America. And it's pretty exciting to see. There's so much things going on with that. I could talk forever about that. But I have a word from the Lord that I want to share with you this morning in Acts chapter 20. Not only have we been a part of the European youth ministry network there, but there is several global youth ministry networks that we were a part of. And so we were at a conference in London just last year, and it was called Empowered 21, and you had all these Pentecostal networks, Assemblies of God, Church of God, Pentecostal Holiness, anyone who spoke in tongues, basically, they were part of this network, and I was there representing Europe, and we had this panel of youth guys there. So Heath Adamson was there, our national youth director here from America, and you had this lady that was leading youth ministries in South America with a youth group of like 20,000. Then you had this guy representing Africa, and then there was another guy representing India. It was David Mohan's nephew who does the youth ministry of India. And then there's Jeff representing Europe. I was like, God, you've got a real sense of humor. And so here we are doing this panel, and after the panel they said, by the way, as soon as you're done with your question and answer panel, we're going to throw you in a car and we're going to take you over to TBN, and you're going to do a 30-minute interview on TBN about reaching the young people. I was like, yeah! So we got on TBN in UK, and God gave me this message that I'm going to share with you today. It's about raising up a Eutychus generation. Eutychus, what an interesting guy in Acts chapter 20. Here's the story, how it goes. It's just exciting. I want my life to look like the book of Acts. How many of you have read the book of Acts? Hallelujah. Not enough hands today when you go home. Start reading the book of Acts and praying that God will use your life like He did in the book of Acts. The reason it's called the book of Acts is it's supposed to be the Acts of the church. We're supposed to have Acts like that too. That was a good place to say amen. Hallelujah. We're supposed to have the power of God working in our lives. Do you believe in the power of God this morning? I believe in God's power. I remember getting a phone call one night as a youth pastor, fresh out of Bible college. We were up in West Virginia up there. I'd only been there a few weeks. And I got the phone call at 12 o'clock midnight. It was a mother of a teenager on the phone. Pastor Jeff, what do I do? My daughter's demon-possessed. So I did what any good youth pastor should do. I called the senior pastor. Because I didn't remember taking casting out demons 101 at Southeastern. And so I talked to the pastor, and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come pick you up. We're going to go meet at the church and cast this demon out of this girl. And you got to understand the kind of pastor that I worked for. He's like, Jeff, I've done this before several times. So since you're new, you're in charge tonight. I'll be in the corner praying. Come get me if you need me. So he happened to be borrowing a friend's black Corvette at the time. So he pulls up in this black Corvette. Zoom, I jump in the black Corvette. Zoom, we're off to the church to go cast a demon out. Felt like Batman and Robin. Here we go. No, no, no. And of course, I'm repenting of every sin I've ever committed. Because I've read about the seven sons of Sceva in the Bible. You know, they tried to say, we command this demon to come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches about. And the demon said, well, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? And they beat him up and stripped him naked. And I was just like, oh God, please don't let this happen to me. We're on the way to this church to cast this demon out. And man, I'll never forget the experience of when you walk into a place and the power of God comes on you like an invisible force field. And the demon inside of that girl was more afraid of the God inside of me. And it was like, all of a sudden I realized we have the power. We've got the answer. Not only do we have the answer, but we've got the power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. What does God want to do through us this week? Today, tomorrow. I believe that God is calling us to do something. He doesn't just give us the power so that we have goosebumps. He gives us the power so that we can be effective witnesses. I was at a wedding just yesterday, and it was so funny. We're going to the reception, and I saw a homeless guy. So I went over and started sharing Jesus with him and prayed for him right there. I'm at a wedding. Who can you pray for this week to see God move? Believe that God wants to move powerfully. We cast that demon out of that girl. It was so cool. I could tell you so many stories. I got several stories of casting demons out. You know, whenever the presence of God starts to flow, demons don't like it. But when God moves, He can't stop it. So it's great. It's awesome. And this is one of those circumstances here. Let's read in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. This was the church. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. So we got a while. No one laughed. No. He was talking till midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. That'll teach you to sleep in church. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. Because that's what you do after you raise someone back to life. You eat, I guess. There's always a potluck at church. So after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Talk about a church service. Can you imagine this kind of church service? Paul's there. He's visiting with the church. He's telling them all his missionary stories. And they're having a great time hanging out. And as he talks on and on and on, this young man, Eutychus, falls into a deep sleep, falls to his death. Paul stops what he's doing, goes to the young man, wraps his arms around him, raises him back to life, and keeps preaching. What a church service. I've not raised the dead yet. We've cast plenty of demons out. Not raised the dead yet, but I'm looking for the day when there's a dead person. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do incredible things. Too many Christians have the mentality of, well, if I just leave the devil alone, he'll leave me alone. If I can just hide and if I don't make eye contact with the devil, he won't bother me. Where is the mighty army of God that He has called, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, that can raise the dead, that can cast demons out? We have this power. But I believe that the Lord showed me something, though. Not only is this story cool, but He showed me something, what I believe is how we have lost a generation in the church. The young people, they may not be physically falling to their deaths out our windows, mainly because in Florida we don't have many two-story houses. It's all one level. But there are young people that we have lost from the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we get in doing our rituals. We keep doing what we do. We know this is what we do over and over again. And they fall asleep in the light. And they fall out of church. The saying, the statistic that more young people fall away after they're 18. It's a huge amount. See, the importance of reaching young people is so vital. They say that 85% of people that will come to know Jesus, get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and called into ministry, 85% do so before they're 18 years old. We can't afford to be losing young people. We need to reach young people with the power of Jesus Christ. Not with a dead religion, not with us talking on and on about our programs, but they need the power of God to touch their lives and to use them. Hallelujah. I remember going out to the streets with some young people in Miami when I was a youth pastor here in Florida. And we'd go out to the Miami outreach. And I remember, it's like we do all stuff during the day, and then if you were really crazy, you could go out late at night. After midnight, we went downtown Miami to do evangelism. And I remember seeing this young man. He was, I don't know what it is about gothic teenagers, I just attract them. I'm not scared of them, we have a good time. And there was this gothic teenager that was walking by and had the Marilyn Manson and all the black, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, he's got someone at home praying for him. So I went up to him, I said, Do you got someone at home praying for you? And he looked at me, and then he looked down, and he was just like, yeah, my mom, she's a Christian. She doesn't know I'm out here. And I said, well, can I pray for you? The power of God wants to touch your life. And I just grabbed his hand like I was shaking his hand, and I said, Jesus, please touch this young man. And the power of God touched this man, and he flew backwards. He literally did this. And let go of my hand and was like, what was that? And I said, that's the power of God, and He loves you, and He's trying to reach you. He's real. We've got to have a church of Jesus Christ where the reality of God's presence is so real that after church, people go, wow, God is truly among you. Isn't that what the Bible says? They'll leave and go, wow, God is truly among you. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. I don't want to lose any more young people. I believe God is calling back a Eutychus generation. I don't know how many young people have been through this church, but there's a season coming right now that they're being called back in the name of Jesus. They're coming home. It's time for a Eutychus generation to be raised back to life. There's three things that Paul did, and I'll share these very quickly. He went to the young man. He didn't keep talking. He went, once he fell to his death, he went after the young man. This reminds me of some stories that Jesus said in Luke chapter 15. You can turn there if you want. There's three parables Jesus gives of what it is to go seeking the lost. The first is he gives the parable of a lost coin. He's like, this lady had this very valuable coin. It was worth like a year's wage. And she lost it. And she didn't wait until morning to find it. She didn't turn on a couple lights. The Bible says she turned on all the lights, moved all the furniture, and sought after that coin until she could find it. And when she did, she threw a party, called all her friends and partied and said, I found the lost coin. And Jesus says, this is what it's like when the lost come to know Jesus. Then he gives another example of a lost sheep. He says, if you have 100 sheep and one goes off, you leave the 99 and seek the one. He says, that's what it's like to go seek the lost. And when you bring the lost one home, there's a huge party. If you want to know God's party, His favorite party, it's when lost people come to know Him. And he brings his sheep home and he says, this is what it's like. In the third story, he gives us the story of the prodigal son, which I love. This is my testimony. Because I was called at 15, but backslid completely away from the Lord by 19. In October of 92, I gave my heart to Jesus in a way that I'd never dreamed possible. And it was the prodigal son that God was still chasing me, even though I was running away from Him. He was still seeking me. I can remember feeling like God was on the outside of me. If you can remember that. Far back, and I was moving my life this way, and I could feel God behind me, and He would tap me on my shoulder, and I would turn around, and all He would do is hold His arms out to me. But I had so much anger and hatred and bitterness and just I couldn't forgive myself, and I would just keep going. No, I'm going to find my own way. And the day that I gave my heart to Jesus, it was like He wrapped me in His arms and I cried for hours. And it felt like taking a bath for the first time in 3 years. It was amazing. Can you remember that day when Jesus washed your sins away? The feeling of freedom, the feeling of hope. The world needs that. Jesus says this is what it's like when you seek after them. But the second thing that Paul did was he went to them and wrapped his arms around him. The only other time in the Bible that connotation is used, wrapped his arms around him, is in the story of the prodigal son. When the father saw the son a long way off and ran to him and threw his arms around him and said, "My son's come home again." This is what it's like when the lost come to know Jesus. We're supposed to go to them. We're supposed to wrap our arms around them. Jesus loves the children, the youth. God loves them. He says they're what the kingdom of God is like. Think about how God has used so many young people in the Bible. He used Joseph when he was 15. He used David to kill a giant when he was 15. Mary was 15 when an angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world." God can use young people today. And He wants to awaken a generation. The third thing that Paul did was he raised him to life. And I love this. Not only did he go grab a meal afterwards, but then he kept preaching until the sun comes up. But he raised, the power of God raised him back to life. And I'm here to pronounce a life message to young people that in Marion Oaks Assembly of God, there is young people coming. There's a generation that's coming here. They've been outside the walls. They're dead, but God sees an army. I think of Ezekiel. When the Spirit of the Lord takes the prophet Ezekiel and shows him a valley full of dry bones. And he says, "Can these dry bones live?" And I feel like there's so many people that look at the younger generation and say, "God, can you do anything with them?" God's saying, "Can they live?" He's asking us, "Can we do something with them?" And he asked the prophet to prophesy to the bones. And he prophesies to the bones. And they all start coming together. That would have been a unique sight. And then he prophesies to skin and muscle, and that all comes up on the bodies. And he says, "Prophesy to the wind," which represents the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he says, "Son of man, prophesy." And the breath of the Holy Spirit filled an army. And I believe that God is showing us that there is an army of a Eutychus generation that He is breathing His Holy Spirit on. In Marion Oaks, hallelujah. God is bringing new life. A new generation coming that we may not even know yet, but God is already speaking to them. I believe this with all my heart. I'm not just itinerating and sharing what I'm doing in Europe and have done and missions and all this. I believe that I am proclaiming, I am prophesying in the name of Jesus. There is a generation that's going to come alive in Jesus' name. We have this power in us. Let's not waste it waiting for them to come here. We must go to them, wrap our arms around them. How many young people just need to know God and the church loves them? That's what I do with Gothic teenagers in Austria. We just wrap our arms around them and pray Jesus on them. And to see God do so many incredible things there. God is up to something. And I believe He's up to something in this church, and He's up to something in Florida, that He's raising up an army. And you guys are a part of this. As you continue to give to missions, I believe that you're going to see firsthand what it means. I believe that God has called me here to Florida to raise up a generation. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You for Your presence here. God, I know that You know our circumstances and that we have things that we need Your help in. But God, You also want us to go and share Your word, to share Your life. God, I pray that You would equip us, that You would equip this church this morning in the name of Jesus. God, that there would be a Eutychus generation that will come back to life. Lord, those young people that this church has lost, they will come home. God, that You will open up doors for them. God, that You would bring revival in ways that we have never even seen, imagined, or heard. That You would breathe Your life of Your Spirit in them. In the name of Jesus. I can't help but feel this morning that maybe there's somebody here that you are like the prodigal. You know you're away from the Lord. And you have felt His presence this morning drawing you back to Him. And this morning, the Holy Spirit saying, it's time to get right. It's time to let today be the day that new life is breathed into you. And I feel the Holy Spirit say, give an opportunity. If there's someone here that you know that this message has been for you, because today is the day that you're coming home. And today is the day you're going to feel the Holy Spirit wrap His arms all around you and say, welcome home. I love you. I gave myself for you. I can help you. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand where you're at? Not going to embarrass you, but you know that today is the day that God is saying, I want you. God will leave the 99 to seek the one. I saw one hand. Is there any other? Anyone else? Today is the day that you know. Don't leave this place the same way. You never know when Jesus is coming back again. Many thought it would be yesterday. Jesus is coming soon. And we have a job to do. I just want to pray for the one young lady that raised her hand really quick. Jesus, I pray, God, that you would wash all her sins away. God, that today would be a fresh start with you. That if she puts her faith and hope and trust in you, that you will walk with her from this day forward, God. No matter what storms of life come, Lord, that her faith would remain. That you would touch her today, God. Let salvation come to her in a fresh way this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And this morning, if you would say, Pastor Jeff, I want to be used by God. I feel the Lord telling me, God, I want to be used by you. If you are willing to be used by the Holy Spirit today or sometime this week, would you just stand up where you're at? I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to fill us, equip us, not only for whatever you're going through, but to give you faith that there is a harvest field all around you. There are young people, there are old people. People need the power of God in your life. And if you say, God, here I am, use me, get ready. It's going to be awesome when God uses you this week. And I want to pray over you. Holy Spirit, you see this army standing before you. God, that you want to use this week. I pray that you fill with the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your presence, God. Lord, equip us. Open our eyes to see the harvest field all around us, God. Help us not to pass by. Help us not to be afraid to get our hands dirty, but to go, to wrap our arms around them, and to speak your life over them in the name of Jesus. Equip this church, I pray, to raise up a Eutychus generation, a youth ministry, a vibrant youth ministry in this place, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.